Well, welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. Make sure you stay tuned. In the next half hour, I'll be doing your news across Indian country, and we got a lot of stuff going on to talk about, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And we'll get started with some music, some Gabriel Ayala. It's a member of the Yaqui people of southern Arizona, and he is a very great classical guitar player. So I wanted to play one of his songs off his Portrait CD, and this one's called Asturias Leyenda. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Thank you. Let's give them a big round of applause. Thank you, ladies. They are the ones.
Listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, and you're just listening to some Redbone. Before that was some Kozad, and we started some Gabriel Ayala. And we'll get back into the music, and this is some Cree Confederation.
Yeah. Black Hills, holy words. Black Hills are where we came out of the earth, where our ancestors are buried, where we go for sacred ceremony. They're the birthplace of the Lakota people. Now, the white man, he wants us to take $100 million for our Black Hills. But $100 billion wouldn't be enough. Not even $400 billion. That wouldn't even pay for the damages you've done. And you can never pay us for what you've stolen, for what you've destroyed. You can never pay us for all the eagles you've killed, for all the buffalo, all the wild game, no. And you can never, never pay us for all the Indians you killed. Well, let me tell you something. Black Hills are not for sale. What if we offered you $100 million for the Vatican or for Jerusalem? White man thinks he can buy everything. He thinks money can buy our Black Hills. Well, he's wrong again, because God gave us those hills, and they're holy, and he can't have them. You think it's an accident that the white man drove us back into these hills and badlands, only to find that this land was rich with gold and copper and coal and uranium? Now you want the uranium, but you can't have it. We are the guardians of the uranium of Grandmother Earth. You can't have it. You'll only use it to destroy God's world. I asked one of your congressmen where the United States was to get all the money that your own Supreme Court says you owe us for stealing the Black Hills. He said, "Why, we'll get it from the U.S. Treasury." And I had a laugh. I told him, "And where did your Treasury get that money? I'll tell you where they got it. You stole it from us. That's where you got it. That's not your money. That's Indian money. You stole our hills, our resources, and you put the profits in your treasury. And now you're going to take a little bit of that money, the money you stole, and give it back to us as full payment, a little bit of it. You're going to pay us with our own money? You must think we're crazy, but we're not. We want our hills back. You white man, you've taken everything, and you've given us nothing. But worst of all, you've never thanked us. Well, you've got to change your ways. I don't have to change my ways. You're the ones I have to change. I live by God's power, and I do what He wants me to do. We Indians, we lived a good life, a happy life, until you came here and made it miserable. Who gave you the right to do that? You killed our people. You stole our land. But God gave us this land. You can't take it away. Well, let me tell you something. I prophesy many things that come to pass. God is going to put a judgment on the world. He's mad. I'm sorry it's going to happen. He's not going to destroy the whole world. Every living thing will perish, and it'll be maybe another million years before a new life begins again, all because of white man's wickedness. Grandmother Earth, she'll be alone. She's gonna rest a while, and you're gonna fall, and you're gonna fall hard. You're gonna be crying, and you're gonna be wailing. You'll realize you can't get away with destroying God's world. Don't think you can get away with it. God's going to wipe the wickedness from the earth. You can see His signs out on the West Coast. Mount St. Helens volcano, that's a sign. And there's going to be earthquakes. Maybe half of California and half of Washington and Oregon will go into the water. And the same thing in the east. And down in the south, you're going to have volcanoes and earthquakes and hurricanes. It's God giving signs to the white man, punishing him for not paying his debt to the Indian people, for destroying the land with his greed. And it will get worse and worse until you pay what you owe us, what you promised us, until you give us what is already ours. You white people, you're going to learn the most important lesson. Learn that God is the most important thing there is. We Indians aren't afraid to die. We've got a place to go. A better place, so we don't care. We're ready. We just want you white people to know. Maybe you can change. Maybe you can stop what's coming. There's not much time. It's gonna happen. Take it from me. Tell him I, Noble Red Man, said so.
On the next Making Contact.
It was the profit motive. Totally different way of thinking than our people had done in the traditional way.
The people of the forest, what have we become? People of the stumps.
On this edition, we bring you to Alaska's Tongass Forest, where the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act turned tribes into corporations and sparked a lengthy logging frenzy.
They don't understand that you can't just say, I apologize for destroying your social life and your families and killing a lot of people through alcohol and drugs, and it's not over.
In this radio adaptation of the documentary film Walking in Two Worlds, we meet a Tlingit brother and sister who are trying to heal both the forest and their native community.
Thursday afternoon at 12:30, right after Sprouts.
On June 6, 2015, there will be a massive tar sands resistance rally in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thousands will march protesting expansion of toxic tar sands pipelines and oil trains in the heartland, as well as stand for a clean energy future. To learn more, go to tarsandsresistance.org. This is a public service announcement of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here, and you were just listening to Harvey Arden talking about a speech that Matthew King wrote. So that was called Black Hills Are Not for Sale. And then we had Cornell Peewawardy, and we had some Cree Confederation. We're doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on out there. And I will play that other clip of the Tongass show. It'll be on Thursday at 12:30 about the forest, deforestation, and talking with Tlingit people from Alaska. So make sure you stay tuned for that one on Thursday. But I'll play that again if you guys can mark it down. All right. Well, the Department of Justice has proposed legislation to improve access to voting in Indian Country. The Tribal Equal Access to Voting Act of 2015 requires states and local governments to place polling locations on reservations and Alaska Native villages. The tribes will be able to make requests for the sites and will be obligated to provide staffing, although the bill requires states to provide compensation and other benefits to election officials and poll workers to the same extent as those provided elsewhere. The Department of Justice is deeply committed to ensure that every eligible individual is able to exercise his or her fundamental right to vote, newly confirmed Attorney General Loretta Lynch said in a press release. That's why today I'm calling on Congress to help remove the significant and unnecessary barriers that for too long have confronted American Indians and Alaska Natives attempting to cast their ballots. The legislation we recommend today will make this nation stronger by extending meaningful voting opportunities to Native populations, by encouraging full participation in our democratic institutions, and by bringing us closer to our most cherished ideals. The National Congress of American Indians welcomed the proposal, which was developed after a tribal consultation process last year. It will help address situations faced by tribal members in places like Duck Valley Reservation, Nevada, where the nearest polling place is a two-hour drive each way. Quote, the right to vote is the bedrock of our democracy and must be ensured for Native people living on Indian reservations or in Alaska Native villages, NCI President Brian Gladusby said in a press release. We are very supportive of this legislation because it comes directly from discussions with tribal leadership. The Department of Justice has taken a greater interest in voting rights since President Barack Obama came on board in 2009. Government attorneys have filed briefs in support of tribal members in cases in Alaska, Montana, and South Dakota. Quote, in spite of many reforms made possible by the Voting Rights Act and other measures, voting rates among Native Americans remain low, Acting Associate Attorney General Stewart said in a press release. The legislation proposed today will address this unacceptable gap, and we will look forward to working with Congress to see it enacted. Well, out of California, a public school district has apologized to an Indian family and to the Wukchumi tribe for a song about the brutal Indian mission system. Alex Firo, 10, was taught the song at the Shannon Ranch Elementary School. He refused to sing the words to the song called 21 Missions out loud because they were offensive. The title of the song refers to the 21 Indian missions that were established around the state. Tribal members were removed from their homelands and placed in religious communities where they were forced to work and were forbidden from speaking their languages. Part of the song reads, "Men of faith, the good news preaching, praying, teaching, searching, reaching out to the red man's soul. Oh, what a noble goal." Alex's family and his tribe immediately reached out to the school and to the Unified School District. The song has been removed from the curriculum. Quote, "This incident has already generated change," Superintendent Doug Bartsch told the Raw Story. "This process has stretched my own perspective. I like to think of myself as a culturally sensitive person, but we all miss stuff." The Wukchumi tribe is part of the historic Yokuts tribe. Their ancestors were taken to Mission Nuestra Sonora de la Soledad in the 1800s, according to Wikipedia. Well, Indian school construction ground to a halt during the Bush administration, but the efforts appear to be back on track as lawmakers from both parties put focus on the issue. So far this year, the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, the House Committee on Early Childhood, Elementary and Secondary Education, and the House Education and the Workforce Committee have convened hearings on the dismal conditions at Bureau of Indian Education schools. The Bureau of Indian Affairs needs at least $3 billion to replace old facilities and make overdue repairs at others, according to the broader report. Quote, "At a school I visited earlier, blankets hung over the doors in a desperate attempt to keep out the cold air. In fact, thin metal walls are all that separate students from harsh winters in states like Minnesota and South Dakota," Representative John Klein, a Republican from Minnesota, the chairman of the Education Workforce Committee, said at a May 14th hearing. Meanwhile, classrooms lack the most basic school supplies, such as desks, chairs, and textbooks. The fiscal year 2016 budget proposed by President Barack Obama in February provides $25.3 million for the Little Singer Community School and Cove Day School, both on the Navajo Nation. The two schools have been waiting for replacement facilities since 2004, the last year the BIA published a school construction priority list. The Bush administration never updated the list, citing concerns about the performance of the replacement school construction program. The Obama administration at one point said it was going to come up with a new list, but nothing panned out. So we'll see what's going on, and hopefully some of that money will go to high school, because definitely has been a lot of stuff that needs to be taken care of there. Well, in Virginia, the Arlington County Board in Virginia voted 3-2 to call on the Washington NFL team to eliminate its racist mascot. The resolution adopted this past Tuesday described the team mascot as a racist slur and derogatory. A new name would bring a fresh start to the Washington region, the board stated. The board joins the District of Columbia Council in opposing the use of a racial slur in professional sports, but other politicians in Virginia, where the team's organization is based, have stood by the name. The team currently plays at FedEx Field in neighboring Maryland. The lease there doesn't expire for another 12 years, but Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is already trying to lure the operation to his state. New D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser also wants the team to return to its original playing location in the nation's capital. She said she supports changing the name. We talked about last week, Representative Loretta Sanchez who made an offensive gesture or statement about Native Americans. And she made this, you know, the whooping noise. You put your hand in front of your mouth. She did it during a California Democratic Party convention where somebody took video of it and posted it online. She has apologized for that. She is a Democrat from California. She said, "I said something offensive, and for that I sincerely apologize," Sanchez said at a convention, according to news reports. She at first tried to avoid the controversy and was seen rushing away from reporters who asked about the exchange. During her subsequent apology, she said Native voters are aware of her support for Native issues. And they know what many of you don't know, like so many Mexican-Americans, she stated, "I am proudly Native American on my side," said Sanchez, the Los Angeles Times reported. Although she hasn't gone into further detail about that. But during her 18 years in the House, Sanchez has co-sponsored several pieces of Indian legislation affecting health, gaming, and federal recognition. Her district does not include any reservations, but she has never introduced any major Indian bills, despite coming from a state with more than 100 tribes. She knows better, and we're very disappointed, Mark Macaro, the chairman of the Pechanga Band, Louisiana Indians, told freelance writer Adriana Mastez. Sanchez's new campaign has suffered from stumbles. An announcement of her candidacy to replace her retiring Senator Barbara Boxer was inadvertently released to the media, but she later confirmed her bid. So, so it was a pretty crazy thing. So I don't know if anyone's going to go further in asking her about her Indian heritage. All right. Well, the Hopi tribe has gained the support of Arizona congressional delegations to halt the sale of sacred items by a Paris auction house. Herman G. Honani, chairman of the Hopi tribe, will be joined by U.S. Representatives Paul Gosar and David Schweikert and others this Wednesday to call on the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, and other federal agencies to take all immediate actions necessary to halt the auction house Eve from conducting a scheduled auction of Hopi sacred items known as Kachina Friends on June 1st in Paris, France. Yesterday, U.S. Congressman Gosar penned a letter supported by the entire Arizona delegation addressed to the Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation, asking them to intervene and prevent the auctioning of sacred Hopi artifacts by the auction house Eve. Quote, "We are thankful for the immediate support of the entire Arizona delegation, and especially the participation of Congressman Gosar and Schweikert to assist the Hopi tribe in the return of our sacred objects. Our Kachina friends must be returned home. We will do all that it takes for their safe return," stated Hopi Chairman Honani. The joint letter states in part, the auction house located in Paris, Estimations and Cheres, or Eve, has engaged in the sale of sacred artifacts despite objections from the Hopi tribe, the Navajo Nation, and the State Department, among others. We understand from the tribe that the auction would include the sale of sacred Hopi objects known as Kachina Friends. According to tribal tradition, displaying and selling these items is sacrilegious and offensive. It is shameful that a French auction house thinks it's okay to profit off the sale of sacred Hopi artifacts. It is my sincere hope that such items will be sold at the upcoming June 1st auction, and the relevant government agencies will be intervened to prevent this occurrence, said Congressman Gosar this past Friday. So that's good. We'll see what happens. Again, this is going to happen pretty soon. And with all the students graduating, there was a few students who were graduating from high school in Oklahoma and were told they couldn't wear their eagle feathers. One was a Caney Valley High School graduation. Senior Hayden Griffith is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation and Delaware tribe. She sued the school in an effort to have her feather hang from her graduation cap. And it went to court, and they said no. They denied her request to allow her to wear the feather on her cap. They said she failed to demonstrate a violation of the Oklahoma Religious Freedom Act, or her rights to free speech or free exercise of religion. As such, she failed to carry her burden, showing she will suffer irreparable harm if an injunction is not issued, or that the threatened injury would outweigh the harm of an injunction might cause. So they said it's not over. They said she can still pursue to try and get it overturned. For now, we don't know what's going to happen. There was another student who was going to sue their school as well, but apparently the mother of that student dropped the lawsuit. So just kind of crazy situations that are going on. And last, I'm sure some of you guys have already heard about this, last Thursday, Haskell announced that they were going to be suspending the football program for the 2015 season, citing a lack of funding as the main reason. And because of this, there's just been a lot of people who were upset. A news release came out of the president's office detailing why. They've also said that they might have to cut a few other sports as well, again, because of funding reasons. And so as part of a solution to this is people to donate to the HaskellFoundation.org. You can go to that. It's just the way it sounds, HaskellFoundation.org. And so, it stirred up, yes, it did stir up a lot of emotions about what was going on. And it was not just voted on by the president herself. It was voted on by the Haskell Board of Regents. And a lot of people were just kind of keeping quiet about this. But I actually seen one of our Board of Regents, Brandon Stevens, talking about why they, voted to do this. And one of it, in his statement was that, tradition, that they speak of is not the same as it used to be, the tradition of Haskell football. He stated individuals' conduct off the field has acutely damaged the reputation of the program, from multiple charges over the past few years to this last major incident in the dorms, which should have shut the entire program down. The old players must instill the old values and traditions back into the program, or this will be the beginning of the end of Haskell football. Yes, a lot of people are just very upset about this, but it's not the end. It's, again, it's just a suspension until they can look and see the cost of it. But there's also other costs associated with this. It's not just the cost of the sport itself. They have to renovate the stadium, renovations that are going to cost a lot of money. And to bring it up to par, especially to be safe, just to have people play football on that field. And so it's, having to raise all this money. And as well, the past football coach resigned at the end of April. So they were without a coach as well. So, again, I'm sure this is going to be out there for a while, and we'll see what happens. And if people are going to step up and support Haskell, all the programs that are there, and we have to go to alumni to look at this. So it's looking at getting that support and making sure people do that if they're really serious about this. All right, well, that's all your news across Indian country, and of course we have Memorial Day coming up tomorrow, so I know a lot of you guys probably have the day off. So hope you guys have a good day off tomorrow. We'll get back into the music, and I think I had some Mike Bone. If you guys remember, these guys were on, they're from Oklahoma, and they were on America's Got Talent, and they did a song called The Rain Dance, and they made it to the second round, but they didn't make it past that. But they're really good guys. I've had them on the show here as well. Really good message that they have at their concerts. Good Christian message that they want to bring to people and talk about different issues with Indian country. But I'll play this one song, and it's called Rain Dance, which is some of you guys probably have already heard.
Thank you. jump around like a native. And let me see you do the rain dance, do the rain dance, do the rain dance, shout it, do the rain dance. Yeah, I can guarantee my native background. How? Check, dog, Cherokee, Pawnee, Choctaw. I'm a native and I'm proud to say. You can call me Hitman cause I make hits daily. Raised down south, but I'm from them gold streets. Native by nature, making cold beats. Scratch that cause they already know me. Hot tracks when I rap on that bone beats. Got limited for this Native American. Born and raised to entertain my fellow man. It's in my blood to bang drums. Hop around all night and get crumb. Let me talk about tribes and where I'm from. Indian Nation, Oklahoma, Cherokee, Choctaw, Seminole, Bicycle, Live Drops, Will, Chickasaw. Do the rain dance, do the rain dance, do the rain dance, shout it, do the rain dance, do the rain dance, do the rain dance, do the rain dance, shout it, do the rain dance. Yeah, there looks ladies. Get crumb, jump around like a native. And let me see you do the rain dance. Do the rain dance, shout it, do the rain dance. I say how when I bounce, I'm a native boy. Coming fresh out the box, never faded, boy. Oklahoma be the 46th state, boy. I ain't going nowhere, I'm here to stay, boy. You can call me FBI, cause I'm full blood Indian. Washed in the blood, full blood Christian. Saddle up, go ahead, add it up. The name's funny bone, cause I have you cracking up. I must be good, cause the money's stacking up. So go on, clap once. Gone clap it once. I keep it crunk, keep the crowd proud. Whoa, I'ma make it raise your eyebrow. Whoa, make it jump like a powwow. Whoa, get down, it don't matter how. I don't dance the wolf, I'm a native though. Put your hands to the wolf, rain dance, oh. Do the rain dance, do the rain dance, do the rain dance, shout it, do the rain dance. Do the rain dance, do the rain dance, do the rain dance, shout it, do the rain dance. Hey, there look ladies, keep on jump around like a native.
That was The Rain Dance by Mike Bone. You guys might have seen that when they performed it on America's Got Talent. And I interviewed them on the show here, and they're just really good bunch of guys, good bunch of guys. And they're still out there touring a lot. I've seen their, you can find them on Twitter and on Facebook, but I see a lot of their posts that they're doing. I wanted to play this real quick clip so you guys remember to tune in on Tuesday for this program that's going to be airing called Tongass.
On the next, Making Contact.
It was the profit motive. Totally different way of thinking than our people had done in the traditional way.
The people of the forest, what have we become? People of the stumps.
On this edition, we bring you to Alaska's Tongass Forest, where the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act turned tribes into corporations and sparked a lengthy logging frenzy.
They don't understand that you can't just say, I apologize for destroying your social life and your families and killing a lot of people through alcohol and drugs, and it's not over.
In this radio adaptation of the documentary film Walking in Two Worlds, we meet a Tlingit brother and sister who are trying to heal both the forest and their native community.
Thursday afternoon at 12:30, right after Sprouts.
So make sure you stay tuned and listen to that on Thursday to hear that program. All right, it's about my time to be getting out of here, and Sunset Reggae is coming up for you next, so make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll be leaving your office in Cheever's Hopa. Everybody have a great weekend.
One day, hold on, hey, hey. Yeah.